Welcome to Untalented by Unknown and Canva. We wanted to make sure when we threw this series that we had the widest spread of human beings. And that's why we're interviewing 30 people at the Canva HQ during South by Southwest. And that is why today we're kicking the whole thing off with the European creative director at Canva in the HQ. I really hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, why did I join? I think I'd worked at amazing brand agencies for quite a long period. Wolf Hollands had always been kind of my dream agency. And to be there for a little while, I felt like I'd achieved a lot, but I also kind of felt like I really wanted to challenge myself. And my role before that was at Meta in America. And that was my first line in-house. And I was only there for about 18 months. And I learned so much. And I think going from brand sides to agency side, having experience on both sides, and you really kind of understand and have empathy for the client or the agency is really important kind of learning. And so when this opportunity came about, just felt like it's something I wanted to get back into and try again and keep that kind of learning experience going. And for me, I'd also found that we'd be creating these amazing brands for people, but they don't always roll out like exactly the way that you want them to or you have in your vision. And when I started to play with the Canva products, I instantly kind of saw this opportunity where you could create something amazing and you could deliver it to your clients in Canva. And it meant that entire organization could design things that looked amazing, felt super on brand. And it would just mean that the work that everybody kind of created would have so much more impact and value by being able to do that.
What is a piece of work that you love but almost didn't share?
Generally, I think like if I love something, I'm going to share it. I'm not too worried about, you know, people love it or hate it. If I really believe in it, I'm going to share it. But actually, a couple of weeks ago, I came pretty close where we had this idea. I can't say exactly what it is, but where we were working with Affinity, who Canva acquired last year. And there was an idea that we were going to share with leadership and with our design advisory boards. And some of the team hated this idea. Some of the team absolutely loved it. It was like complete my idea. And so nearly left it out. But then I thought, let's just share it and see what happens. And actually it was funny because it's one of the ideas that people love the most.
Real.
And so, yeah, hopefully maybe in a year or so's time, it might be out then. I can tell you what it is and see if you love it or if you hate it.
Is there like the process that you're like using to know, okay, this is actually a thing that I'm going to, this is a hill I want to die on? Or like, are you going, what is it about then I did like that, for example, you're like, I'm going to keep this to myself, or I feel compelled to actually go, no, this is the one I'm going to back?
I think if it's something that I really believe in, that I think is great for the brand, and I think it's something that I love and I'm passionate about and I want to share with the world, then there's no way I'm not going to share that.
How do you protect taste in a world full of trends?
Maybe when I was a little bit younger in my career, I'd feel more passionately about wanting to protect tastes and maybe being a bit more critical of something I wouldn't consider to be beautiful or on trend or on design. But the longer I've worked, I've learned to like really appreciate things that aren't to my taste, but are still amazing pieces of design. And often the things that I love the most, they're not perfect. And sometimes they're a bit ugly or a bit weird or a bit different. And the things that are imperfect are sometimes the best piece of design or the things I love the most. So I've tried to let go of that and actually just embrace that things can be different, and that makes them more interesting. And I always want to choose interesting over being tasteful.
Fill in the blank. When I look back in 10 years, I hope people say that my work was...
Yeah, when I look back in 10 years, I'd love to think that people would say that my work was characterful. I always love to create work where you just have a feeling of personality and character that's got a soul to it. I don't like creating graphic design that feels too kind of like it's taking itself too seriously, or it's just slick and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love to create work that has a tone of voice, has a point of view, it's playful, it might make you laugh, it might make you smile. And those are the work that I'm really, really proud of.
Yeah.
Where it has character.
What's a good example? Give me like a characterful design.
Well, I think a literal one would be Pet Bath, which is a brand I worked on a few years ago where we basically took a brand that was very kind of restraint and was inspired by the pets that we love, the dogs, the cats, and all the characters they had. And we created a series of literally characters, all of their own names, all their own personalities, worked with an amazing illustrator and animator to bring those to life and kind of set them free. But maybe on the other end of the spectrum, where it doesn't have to be so literal and obvious about creating characters, I worked on the Lloyds Bank Free brand, which other end of the spectrum, just like that, as, yeah, much more serious, you know, super important. And actually, this wasn't about creating something that was like, you know, dogs and cats running around, but the tone and the character that we put into the tone of voice, there was much more kind of subtle and witty, I think, was like another example of how you can bring characterful work in that doesn't have to be over the top. You can kind of still do it in really, really subtle ways.
So you work at a platform that democratizes design. How do you personally define good design when everyone is now a designer?
I think for me, good design is emotional. I think that it's so wonderful that everybody has these tools in their hands where they can make stuff look good and work and be, you know, clean and functional and beautifully designed. But I think always that next stage and the things that really stand out to me as really good design are ones that cut through the noise and they can actually talk to people on an emotional level. And they have heart, they have soul, they have character. And that can be really difficult when, you know, the world is flooded with technology and AI. But actually the opposite of that, brands or design that has humor and wit and soul and empathy and passion, I think are the ones that to me really feel like good design.
Okay, I want to move into your personal creative instinct. So how do you balance your own personal creative instincts whilst also staying true to Canva's brand and tone of voice?
I think maybe my background in brand really helps with that. You get so many different briefs where you have to jump from sector to sector to sector to brief, and you kind of just have to take yourself out of that. You're not designing for yourself. You're designing for your clients. And so you really need to get under the skin of that brand and understand who they are and who they're talking to. So quite quickly, you kind of forget about your own instincts and your own design styles. And for Canva and also with brands generally, that they're also not set and fixed. Like they need to evolve, they need to adapt. And so a big part of my role in the UK and in Europe is finding what's that sweet spot of kind of British tone and European tone that's going to work for Canva, but still feels appropriate to Canva kind of globally, and it still feels like it's building its brand. So it can still have an impact, but you know, in a way that feels really considered.
You worked at agencies and in-house. What is the biggest difference to you?
I think the biggest difference when I first started working in-house was that moment of realization where it has to work. And I think I really love that pressure. I really love trying to build design and brands that are really going to work. They're not just going to look beautiful in a mock-up. Actually, they're designed to be effective and to be really kind of smart design systems. I also think that it's important that you don't change too much. And I think I try and still be the same person that when I was at an agency as I am in-house. That's why you'd be boring, because you have, you know, you have a skill set and you have an experience of the background that's different. And so trying to not worry about them being completely different things is really important.
What is your life slogan?
Gonna use my mum for inspiration here. Embrace imperfection is something that she always says. Yeah, I also really believe that when you're designing, things that are perfect are often the things that are actually the most perfect, most brilliant. So always try and use that.
That was so
easy.
Tom Carey in the house. Okay. I feel like I can't finish on the last question now.
Okay, and on that point, about lovely, deep thing that you just said there, what was the weirdest shit that you'd done with ChatGPT?
Weirdly, also false by mum. Okay. My name's Tom Carey, and my mum's name is Mary Carey. And we recently went to go and see Brian Bilston together, who's the most incredible poet. And when I got home the next day, I decided to try and use ChatGPT to help me write a poem about my mum, Mary Carey, where every single line rhymed with Carey. And
that's so sweet.
I said, oh, see, it's pretty good.
Did you lie to her and say, mum, I just came up this thing, you love us?
She hasn't got it yet, so hopefully she's not listening.
Okay. I hope it's a little bit shit, because then you can say I'm embracing imperfection.
It has to be.
Tom, you've been incredible. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having us.